Ken last week highlighted three things. He mentioned these things. Take off your old clothes. Take out your new clothes. Put on your new clothes. And based on the verse 24 of chapter 4, put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so we're moving into chapter 5, and there's more incentives, friends, for righteousness. More incentives. So we're going to look at those this morning. And I'm going to start off by just sharing a little bit of a story that I got out of my daily devotions. But when she was just 19 years of age, Chiara, I think that's how you would say it, Lubich, she gathered with a few friends in northern Italy. It was 1939, and as bombs fell, they asked this question. Was there an ideal that bombs could not destroy? The answer was yes, the love of God. They had experienced God's overwhelming love, and they wanted to share it with others. They imitated God by living a life of love, as we'll see in Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. They helped those who were in need. They shared what little food they had, and they found clothing for those who had none. They comforted the bereaved. Such warmth emanated from Chiara and her friends that they gave them the name Focolare. I don't know, that's my Italian pronunciation, but which means hearth or fireplace. And it has now 2 million members in over 182 countries. And the members of this community, the Focolare community, they make it their rule of life 24 hours a day to live by the golden rule of Jesus. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Isn't that wonderful? Love is practical. She said, love the other person as yourself. Imagine how the world would be if the golden rule were put into practice, not only between individuals, but also between ethnic groups, peoples, and nations. If everybody loved the other country as their own, how wonderful that would be. And so we ask ourselves that question this morning, how can we imitate God and live a life of love? And so there's a picture of walking, which it was shown a couple of weeks now in a row, but it talks about three areas this morning: walking in love and purity, walking in goodness and righteousness and truth, walking in wisdom and being filled with the Spirit. And you would have seen on the board, walk a life of love, and walk a life of light, and also walk in the Spirit, or be filled with the Spirit. So those three, to me, are a godly unity. I mean, if you have love, you're not going to be fearful, because perfect love dispels fear. You won't be anxious, because that love will displace all fear and anxiety. And if you have the Spirit, you'll be in freedom and liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. And if you walk in light, there will be no darkness, because the light displaces the darkness or dispels the darkness. I could get sidetracked right there. But there's those pictures. So we're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to start with the first seven verses, similar to what we've done through this book. And then we'll go into the next few verses, and each one highlights those three points I gave. So the first one is walking in love and purity. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Friends, Jesus Christ set the supreme example of love by giving up his life for us. Saint Athanasius, I think that's how you would say it, he wrote, God became us, or became like us, in order that we might become like God. So simple. God became like us so we can become like God. And so it goes on to say, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. So we need to, it's exhorting us to walk in love and to walk in purity. And friends, the church welcomes all. and sundry, everyone. Because it's to be an imitator of God. God would have all to come to a knowledge of him and be saved, and none to perish. So we need to do that, arms wide open. But then also we need to be aware that we need to make such a loving community that the back door is very small. Do you know what I mean by that? The front door is very big, but the back door is very small. And so, but we also need to know who God is if we're going to imitate God. And if you think of Moses, he was pressing in on God. He wanted to see God's glory. He wanted to know God's better. And so God proclaimed to Moses his name in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 and 7, by describing who he is. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. And it goes on a little bit further. But I want to say right now, that's God saying, that's who I am. That's my essence, my character, my nature. If you want to be like me, walk in those things. Be compassionate, be gracious, be slow to anger, be abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness, etc. And forgiving. And so we are to imitate God's love. That love is so beautiful. It's sacrificial. It is unconditional. It's unlimited. It's unfailing. It's consistent. There's no love like it. It's a God love, a pure straight arrow love. There's no hook. There's no agenda. There's no... He isn't trying to do a number on you. He loves you because he is love. He's not loving. God is not loving. God is love. If you want to define love, you look at God. He is love. There's no other way to describe God and in terms of adjectives. It's just like God is love. Yes, God is holy, and he says more times that he's holy. But I'm accenting. That's not the right word. I'm just wanting to focus for a moment on imitating God's love. The more we receive his love, the easier it will be to love others, even the unlovely. And that's the test. Can we love the unlovely? It's not about deserving or undeserving. We didn't deserve Jesus' love. And so love is not just for those who deserve it. Do you know that you didn't deserve it? Let me just burst your bubble right there. Jesus died for his enemies, as BB said about Judas. He died for us. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And his love is practical and sacrificial, and our love should be the same. Love is doing what has been done for others, no matter what it costs us. When we sacrifice ourselves to be kind to others, we too shall be a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so Paul so far has been dealing with specifics and a call to godliness, saying put off falsehood, be truthful, deal with anger, deal with stealing, deal with corrupt talk, be kind. As BB said, we want to imitate God's kindness. And Paul's reminding us of who we are and who we're to be like. And then the second aspect of that, of love, is also avoid, it's purity. Avoid all forms of sexual immorality and impurity. So we've got to turn aside from these sins because they're not fitting for us as God's holy people. And it says in Corinthians, we are bought at a price. Therefore, we are to honor God with our body, with our sexuality. As his church, we called to live a life of purity without even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or any greed or covetousness. These are improper for God's holy people. Then there shouldn't be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, and which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Friends, this is a challenge. Because British humor, by and large, is great, but then there's the crude, the crass, the coarse, the vulgar, the lewd, the sexual innuendo, which is all part of British humor. You've got to admit it. Every comedian will be using some of that, pretty much. I haven't found one who's like, it's like you don't really want to go there because it's vulgar and so the word is just exhorting us. It's encouraging us. Rather than self-centered sins, we call to God-centered thanksgiving. Rather thanksgiving. And actually, wherever I go, I could get sidetracked here. So often there's negativity. There's not thanksgiving. How often do you walk into the company of people and hear thanksgiving? Have you ever done that? Just walked into people talking, or in a, you know, you go and do your MOT or you go in the shop. People are like bemoaning the politics or this or that or the next thing. There's not a lot of positive talk out there. And so there's a strong warning here from Paul. There's forgiveness of sins, but those who set up their course against God's ways will not have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And the point of verse 5 is that at this time, such sins are a blockage to the enjoyment of the kingdom. There's no way we can be indulging in these sins and yet be experiencing the blessings of the kingdom of God. And I'd love to have read Psalm 15. And I noticed, even I had it on my heart to read this morning. And actually, it was in my dad's order of service. I do feel it's important to read. Ask the question as it asks us, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts and lends his money without usury or interest and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Wow, friends, what a filter of being imitators of God this morning through that psalm. Because if we don't sow to the Spirit, we're not going to reap from the Spirit. But if we do sow to the Spirit, we will reap from the Spirit. And so Ephesians moves into the warning about the future. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. You and I know that there's a day of judgment on its way. God's anger will be poured out on sin and on sinners. The sins Paul's mentioned will be purified out of God's world. The fires of God's anger will consume sin. Only he who does the will of God will abide forever. In Romans, Paul assures the Christian that we'll be saved from God's wrath when it comes, and there'll be no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. However, the righteous who have had a share in the sins of the disobedient will experience the anger of God. It is justification, adoption, and new birth which are eternally secure. However, the hope of receiving inheritance or the possibility of experiencing God's anger by forfeiting reward are still open-ended possibilities. And I say that soberly because that's why the scripture says we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We can't just assume that if we're disobedient and walk in disobedience, we will not suffer consequence. What we sowed, we do reap. And in the next section of the passage, Paul gives us a reason for godly living, and I'll probably move through these passages a lot quicker. So from verse 8, for you were once darkness. Doesn't say you were once walking in darkness. You were once darkness. I wouldn't have described myself like that on my CV. Or like, how do you know? You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That's why it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So there's an exhortation, find out what pleases the Lord. As the Message translation puts it, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. I like the Message. And then that next point is walking in righteousness, goodness, righteousness, and truth, living as light in the Lord. And so how does that translate? You see, darkness spoke of sin and shame and spiritual blindness, spoke of you and I. They themselves have changed and are no longer what they used to be. That's what Paul's saying to the Ephesians. Now they are light in the Lord. Not only are they in the light is in them. Hallelujah. And they've been transformed. So what follows is perfectly logical. Walk as children of the light. It's a call to godliness, a call to be what we are. We are what we are because we are in him. We are joined unto him, his life and light within us. And as Christians, we're called to be a community that conduct shines as a beacon to others. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this world with the light, your light. And so we need to be that lighthouse or that beacon, illuminating the way that God intended life to be lived. Friends, it's more than just avoiding evil, but it's positively producing the fruit of the light, which consists of goodness, that's kindness or generosity towards others. It includes or consists of righteousness, that's integrity or uprightness, doing right in relation to God and others and humanity. And then truth, openness, transparency, authenticity. So you've got to walk in those three things, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Living as light in the Lord, but then is walking as light, children of the light. And then secondly, as is on the board now, or on the screens, to expose works of darkness. And what does that mean? Well, it means we can't be participants in unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, we are to bring them to light or expose them by being a godly example. There are ways we can please the Lord. The ungodly do works, the godly produce fruit. Do you see that? The godly in that passage talk. The ungodly talks about works. The godly produce fruit. Works of self is of self. Works is of self. Fruit is of the new thing that God has put in us. And I, you know, people talk about you got to be an influencer. There's all these influencers who make a living out there on influencing, and hopefully it's positive. Not a lot of it is, but they're often drawing attention to themselves, not to God. But anyway, we're not to do that in a worldly way. We to shine the light and draw others to Him, to point others to Him. That's the essence, so they may respond to the light, who is Christ, the source of light. And light, by its nature, exposes evil. And the best way to deal with darkness is to drag it into the light. The power of darkness is in secrecy. God wants to heal what we don't want to reveal. And as Donna gave that illustration so powerfully last week with Daniel Craig. He was representing the spirit. And, you know, he has the license to kill your flesh, as I was saying. And then you've got the soul, and then you've got the body. And so spirit, soul, body. And if you think of, I'm trying to give you a quick illustration here. If this was a rectangle, body, soul, spirit. So your flesh in itself is not sinful, but there is a sinful nature. And so that sinful nature is at war with your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, and that's the middle little quadrant. So you've got your flesh, you're born with that door to the flesh wide open to your soul. And then there's areas out of peace. So in this middle quadrant, if you can just picture it, there's areas that are out of peace, looking for comfort. And where do they find comfort? The end of a bottle, in the arms of another person, through drugs, through power, through trying to replace and dull and comfort. In ways that will never comfort. They're just more areas out of peace, because after you've done something, then you've got shame. You've got another area out of peace, and then you've got regret, and then you've got bitterness, unforget, all these areas out of peace. And the spirit, until the spirit is open, until you're born of the spirit, that door is closed. Until that door opens, the flesh has its way. And then God wants to heal what we don't want to reveal. So this middle area, all the areas out of peace, God wants to heal through His Spirit, because the Spirit, we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free, and there'll be healing through the Spirit, and there'll be liberty through the Spirit. And so we've got to allow the Spirit to help us to close that door to the flesh and allow the Spirit to bring all that healing that's necessary. And so, friends, most sin happens in secret. By its nature, it takes us further than we want to go. We end up staying longer, and it costs us more than we're willing to pay. And at evil, it thrives in the darkness. But the moment you bring it into the light, its power diminishes. So ask God to shine the light of the Spirit, or Holy Spirit, into your heart. And if the Holy Spirit exposes an area of darkness, deal with it through confession, repentance. The moment you do so, the power of evil is broken. And it's a fearful thing sometimes to walk into the light. What will people think of me? And the fear of man, or fear of being somehow exposed. But that's the whole point. You expose things to the light, they lose their power. The power of it in darkness and shame and regret and secrecy. And so the next passage, in the final section of this passage this morning, is verse 15 through to 21. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Margaret does this so well in the prayer meeting. She's remembering some of the wondrous words of songs and sharing them in the prayer meeting. And then it says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So the final point this morning, walk in wisdom and be filled with the Spirit. Point three. And so that means we've got to walk circumspectly. We've got to walk wisely. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Friends, time is your most valuable possession. You can get more money, but you can't get more time. And don't fritter away your life like a fool. Life's short. Seize the moment. Make the most of every day. And as we walk out this salvation with fear and trembling, His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And through His word, we come to understand not only His will, but also His ways being higher than our ways and even the ways of this world. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and even the philosophies and the ideologies and the wokeness of the world. His ways are higher than those. There's a biblical worldview that was only filtered through the word of God, not BBC. I'm sorry. They've been exposed. We've been praying that they'd be exposed for bias. And it's out there. And how long has we sucked that drivel in? Exactly. And I'm not saying any media's without taint. I'm just saying the Bible's without taint. That's our final authority. We everything through the Word of God. And then finally is continuously filled with the Spirit. And so Paul's contrasting escapism of substance abuse or getting drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. And he's saying, no, don't do that. Be filled with the Spirit. And the Message translation puts it this way, this invitation. Drink the Spirit of God, huge drafts of Him. I think of the Stein in the Oktoberfest, but the Spirit of God, not like these big, you know, eight of them in this little, and I've seen them, these little ladies carrying eight Steins, you know, that's about more than I don't know how many kilograms, and she's encouraged. Wow, through that, God's encouraging drink of the Spirit, huge drafts of Him. And so He's saying, be filled in the present continuous tense, urging us to go on being filled with the Spirit, go on and on being filled with the Spirit, be filled and keep on keeping on being filled. Be filled with the Spirit leads to singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs instead of drinking songs. Don't get into drinking songs. Leads you to worship in the Lord Jesus in our heart and to give thanks to God. The very opposite of grumbling and complaining. It's a characteristic of a spiritful community to be grateful to God for all things, in all places, at all times, and leads to mutual submission. And that word for submission is different to the word obey. Submission is a beautiful word, actually. It's a voluntarily yielding in love. It's voluntarily yielding in love. It's a beautiful characteristic. Spirit-filled life characterized by worship, gratitude, and mutual submission to one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen. I felt like I was trying to download a truckload of truth there, but it's a very rich passage, and I do trust that. Just think of light, love, and the Spirit. What a combination, those three. And we're going to respond in a moment of worship in Jesus' name. And let it be a powerful truth as we sing. God, won't you meet with us? Won't you change us? God, help me to do away with the pointing finger and malicious talk, fault finding or grumbling or even slander, whatever, gossip. God, those things, as we read in Psalm 15, are displeasing. But we want to be blameless before you, Lord. We want to be those whose mouths are sanctified. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, Lord. Here I am. Cleanse me from within. Purify my heart. Create in me a clean heart, a new spirit. Put a new spirit within me, a heart of flesh, Lord, that I might represent you well and reflect well on you and be imitators of you, an imitator of you. I ask that in Jesus' name.